destination, freedom. Station WMAQ brings you Destination Freedom, dramatizations of the democratic heritage of the American Negro people, and a part of America's own Destination Freedom. Today, Destination tells the story of one of America's outstanding modern composers, the famous Edward Kennedy Duke Ellington, in a chapter entitled Echoes of Harlem. He had the songs in his head long, long before he knew how to write the notes. He was a boy on Logan Street in Washington, D.C., looking for a way to play the tune he was whistling. A tune that called his gang together in the hot summer evening.
Yeah, Otto, you ready?
Sure. Been listening for your whistle. I'm all set. I told all the guys to meet me. Where's Smitty and Fenton?
Oh, yeah.
Gang's all set, too, Duke.
Good. Let's go. Hey, what's up, Duke?
Where are we going tonight?
Yeah, what you dressed up for? I thought we was going apple hunting.
Yeah, how about that?
Well, we're not going out after old man Max Apples tonight.
No?
Now, that's wasting the gang's time, huh? Maybe something more eatable like them bananas over at Joe's.
And we're not knocking over any grocery store, either.
Huh. Well, then what? What's on your mind, Duke? Ain't no use standing around here.
Keep your voice down to a scream, and I'll tell you. We're hitting the pawnbroker.
What's
the pawnbroker got that we want? You can't eat them golden balls, fella.
They got horns and drums in there, ain't they?
Well, yeah.
We've been planning to have a band, haven't we?
Yeah, sure, but swiping something big as a sax, well, you get the electric chair for that stuff.
Oh, cut it out, will you? We've been planning to have a band all year, and you know it. We don't get started now, we'll never get to it.
Yeah, but Duke, the cops watch that shop.
Listen, there's a band contest coming up this fall. Everybody here plays a little on something. If we get a little practice, we can play in.
Yeah, sure. Some of them goofy songs you always.
Well, ain't it better than swiping apples?
Well, maybe so. You know, I hear some of them bands don't play no better than we do, and making millions, I tell you. Millions.
You guys with me or against me?
Okay.
Well, I guess so.
That's good sense. Farman keeps the saxes and trumpets hanging outside till he closes. We'll just go walking by and borrow them till the contest is over. No harm borrowing, is it?
Not in borrowing, they ain't, but in taking.
You guys want to play or not? Come on if you're coming.
Okay, Duke.
Duke, what about the cop? Who watch out for the cop?
Look, long as the way is clear, I'll whistle our song. Mm-hmm. When I stop, beat in. Now, come on. One night's work and we got a band.
The boy who wanted a band stood on the corner whistling while his gang ambled down the street and by the pawnbroker shop where horns and drums hung silent in the doorway. He whistled while the gang equipped the reed section and was outfitting the trumpet department when a drum dropped. The pawnman called out.
Hey, come back here. Here, give me that flute. Drop it.
Let go, my collar. Let go.
Drop the flute, Otto, and beat it. The cop's coming.
Help, please.
Come on, Otto.
Which way they go? Which way
they go,
mister? That way,
officer.
That's where one of us
fights on.
Why don't you drop the
drum?
Stop you. Stop.
Stop your kids or I'll shoot. Oh, it's all up. The cop's on it. Drop the drum.
Yeah, yeah. Here, officer. We were just kidding.
Oh, yeah?
We didn't mean to keep him.
Tell it to the judge. Riley, get the paddy wagon.
The patrol wagon.
Now, you music lovers, line up. You two, Whistler, line up.
Okay.
Mister, come identify him.
The gang that had almost become a band lined up while the pawn men pointed them out.
Well, this one had the trumpet, he had the drum, and this one had my fiddle.
Who would you say was the leader?
With the one they called Duke.
Now, which one of you guys is Duke?
The Duke stepped out.
You're sure it's this one, huh?
Well, when he started whistling, they started grabbing the horns. I've watched these kids, and every time he starts to whistle, they grab.
What was he whistling?
Well, I can't remember the whistle, but he was a whistling.
Well, anybody can whistle. If you can't even identify the whistle, how do you know it was him?
Oh, it was him, all right. He's always whistling some crazy tune. His whistling starts the trouble.
Trouble? Uh-huh. Riley, bring the wagon over here. I'm going to send these musicians home first. I'm going to find out what this is all about. Back her up, Riley.
The paddy wagon backed up, and the boys rode home. The officer had some friendly advice for the Duke's father.
Now, it's like I say. They're all nice boys, but they're headed for trouble. Especially with your boy leading them, Mr. Ellington. Now, if I catch them again, it's jail.
Well, then it's jail it'll have to be. I don't know what to do with them, officer. Edward, haven't I warned you?
Yeah, you told me.
Isn't there anything you can find for him to do, Mr. Ellington?
Oh, I've tried everything I know of. Since he's been out of high school, he keeps talking about playing music.
And why don't you give him lessons?
Oh, he's had them. They just don't take on him. Well, if I can try again. Boy, I'll give you another chance at music. You want that, Edward?
Yeah, Dad, very much.
Well, then apply yourself. I'll send you to Miss Scales for private lessons. She's the best teacher and critic around here.
Oh, thanks, Dad. You'll see.
Well, but remember, it's the last teacher I'm wasting on you. Now, if there's no music in you, you may as well face it. And if there is, Miss Scales will find it. And if she can't, nobody can. Now, get down to business.
The boy got down to the piano and worked a year while Miss Scales measured his progress with ruler and metronome.
One, two, three, four. Watch your posture. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. One, two, three.
Now, now, now. Stop that nonsense this instant.
I am I wrong, Miss Scale?
Are you wrong? Of course you're wrong. Can't you follow a simple scale on paper?
Oh, I was thinking about something I had in mind.
In mind. Always something in mind.
Well, I was thinking about an old man walking over cobblestone the way he sounded.
Cobblestones? I declare I don't know when you'll ever learn to play what's on paper.
I'll start again.
Oh, no, you won't, Ellington.
Well?
Young man, I'm forced to admit I'm wrong.
Oh, no. I'm the wrong one, Miss Scales. Yeah, I'll play it over.
Touch those keys again and I'll scream. I've taught on the theory that every single human being has in him some music ability somewhere. But you, young man, you are the exception.
Miss Gales, if you'll let
now
me try
Now, I
again.
Know how this will pain your people. But it's my duty as a self-respecting teacher to save you from the torture
music
that you would...
Music isn't torture to me, Miss Gales.
No, not to you. But to those who hear it. I'll have your report in a few minutes. You wait here.
The boy waited while Miss Gales summed up his career.
My dear Mr. Ellington, I regret to write that your son, Edward Kennedy, has not the slightest trace of talent. And furthermore, it is my humble opinion that the further you keep him away from a musical
instrument, the happier you will make him, yourself, and the country. You see there? What did I tell you? Now will you give up this crazy idea and go to work the way I want you to? She says that...
I know what she says. I just don't care for playing other people's music, that's all. I like to think up my own.
She says even when you scribble music, it's stuff that can't nobody play. Now look, boy, you fooled around enough. You take this here newspaper, read the want ad, find a job, and go to it.
The boy with the unwritten song still in his head saw an ad for a job in a tavern called the Lion's Den, and he followed it. The lion was a piano player.
You the kid called up for the job?
Yeah. You Mr. Lion?
Yeah. You look a little too polite to work around here. How about it, Mabel?
Well, on this side where the lion's playing, we sell the hard drinks. It goes with the lion's music.
Yes, it's rough on my side of town.
Now, on the other side, we sell soft drinks. You look kind of tender, Junior. So you work at the soda fountain. You stay on your side, and the lion, he stay on his.
The boy stayed on his side until he heard the lion's roar on the piano. The lion played as though he had two left hands, and he needed no metronome to measure his beat. He played chords that had never been written. The boy left his side of the tavern and watched Lyon's paw pat the piano 16 to the bar.
What you looking at, boy? Go back to your side of the house.
I can't work while you play. I had to come over and listen.
You can hear me play a mile away and he comes up close. What you listening for?
I want to play that way. Where you learn?
Well, I learned. You hear that, Mabel?
He asked me that.
Shakowski taught me, didn't you know?
Yeah, sure.
Me and Shakowski was just like that. Used to drink together. Push that 100-proof this way, son. I'll take it straight. I sip it between my beats. Keeps me going. Now, you were saying,
if your music's not written, how you play it?
It's a secret. You gotta know what you want to hear. Then you gotta hold the instrument and make it talk. Forget the rules. Like Shakowski told me, Mr. Lyon, it don't mean a thing if you ain't got no left hand. Now look, now watch to you. You keep the beat with your left hand. You tell the story with your right hand. If you got anything to tell, Junior, you'll tell it. Now just find people who can play the way you want it to sound. But push that 100-proof a little closer, Junior, and I'll show you something they don't teach you in no schools.
The Lyon taught the boy how to play with a lush style and a humming left hand, and how to feel for expression that couldn't be written. And while the Lyon played, the Duke polished silver on the soda water side of the tavern, until one day the Lyon stopped cold. Mabel walked calmly over to the Ellington boy.
Duke?
What happened to the Lyon?
The Lyon, he's a lamb now. Every month this time he goes out, drinks till he drops. You sort of play the piano.
Well...
Then take the Lyon.
Oh, I can't exactly play like him.
Why can't you?
I don't know. I've been wanting to play so long, I get nervous just thinking about it.
Don't get nervous. Just get out and play. What pays 10 times as much as soda jerking. Here, help me lift the Lyon. He's asleep.
Sure is.
We'll just move him out of the way. Come on. Lift! There. Now sit down before the piano cools off and play.
I'll try.
The Duke sat in the Lion's seat and kept it warm. He played what he had learned from the Lyon plus something all his own. He played, and again he believed he could create a new music. He played in the Lion's den until he had money to help his gang buy new instruments. Then he called them together to hear his plans.
Yeah, what's going on?
Say, what's it all about, Duke? What's on your mind?
Yeah, I understand you're quitting the Lyon's den.
Heard you going to New York.
I was hoping we could all go to New York, fellas. Sort of start a band, the way we planned it.
Well, that's all right with me. How about it, boy?
Well, sure.
Here we go.
Well,
I thought we'd start out a little different this time. Huh? We'll start out playing a new kind of jazz. Something that goes down a little deeper than the stuff the commercial bands play.
Yeah? Like what?
Well, I've written some pieces here. Something like this.
The musicians gathered around the odd music and stopped.
Say, you kidding? You expect anybody to play this?
Yeah. When you come to the trombone part, you just sketch a few notes and say, sound like you're in a dungeon and want to get out.
You say for me to sound like I'm lost in a jungle and just float. You're crazy.
Sure, I know it sounds crazy, but it's the way to get the music we want, to get the most out of it. The old way of writing and playing won't work for jazz. We got to get new tones and new moods. We may even need new kinds of instruments.
You need more than instruments, Duke. You need men. 4 guys ain't enough to play what's in your mind. You got to find the right guys.
The Duke went looking for the right guys. He took his small band to Harlem. He picked up a drummer who had that boogie beat. He got a trombone from Puerto Rico. One day, while the band rehearsed, a sideman came in who was to revolutionize the jazz world. It was a thin, wiry man with a sack under his arm. He came in abrupt and unwelcome.
say.
You the guy they called Duke Ellington?
Yeah, but we're busy, brother. We got a show to do and we're late.
They say you want a trumpet player. A good one.
We don't want nothing but you out of here. Grandpa.
Want a trumpet player that can blow anything? Well, I ain't modest. I'm the best.
Take a hint, will you? We ain't got time for no kibitzes.
Kibitzes, he says. Look, fella, I'm a new kind of Chopin, and you're passing me by.
Another one.
I got something Bach would have broke his neck to get, and you squares want to pass it up. See this I got under my arm?
The little musician pulled out his sack, brought out a trumpet and a thin piece of rubber.
Yeah, I see it. And that was what Bach wanted, huh? Hey, what is that, anyway?
My growl trumpet.
Oh,
it's the hottest trumpet in the world. It'll talk to your soul. It'll make your bones melt. It'll cremate you. And I'm the only guy who knows how to handle it. Want to hear it?
Look,
go on. Whistle a tune. See what I do. I'll kill it. I'll drive you crazy. Just whistle something you've always wanted to hear done up right. Something frantic. Whistle one. I'll show you.
The Duke took a long breath. He thought back to the tune he'd whistled in the Washington Street when the gang gathered. And he began to remember it, to whistle it.
That's good enough. That's good enough. Now, just give me some bass, boys. A little bass, and I'll teach you how to talk.
Okay, how's this?
The musician picked up the whistle, twisted it, caught it in the valves of his trumpet, blew on it, and brought out a new tone. When he stopped, he was the only one who had a word to say.
Okay, boys, I know you're feeling sad, so forget the flattery. Yeah, this band needs a dozen guys like me, and there's only one of me in the world. Ain't that sad?
But Miley did know of another side man who had gotten the hang of the new growl.
There's a guy I've been teaching who ought to be in here. He's a trombone player. They call him Tricky Sam.
Where is this Tricky Sam?
Playing at the Bucket of Blood.
Yeah?
You tell him what you want a horn to do, he'll do it.
The Duke got Tricky Sam out of the Bucket of Blood. He came in, plunger in his pocket and a trombone in his hand.
The new man Miley says you're great on the trombone.
Is that so?
Well, what I had in mind sounds crazy,
Go on, tell him. He's crazy, too.
Well, I wanted a trombone to sound like a man in a dungeon.
In a dungeon, Tricky. You get that?
Well, is that so?
Tricky started adjusting his plunger.
Well, what's this guy doing in the dungeon?
Well, he's singing a sad song with a little laugh in it, and he's trying to climb up out to his cell window, but he can't.
Is that so?
It sounds funny talking about it, but can you do it?
Let the bass back me up. You need a good bass fitter. You ain't got one, but I'll try.
Tricky Sam slipped two more plungers inside the mouth of his horn, covered them with a mute, put the trombone to his lips. The man from the Bucket of Blood came into the band. And the Duke went down to New Orleans for a clarinetist named Barney Begard. He picked up a sax sideman from Cambridge named Johnny Hodges, who could scoop up the blues in one long sweep. Then he balanced him with an 18-year-old boy from Massachusetts named Harry Carney, who blew an odd baritone sax. He found a silk trombone in Los Angeles, played by a man named Lawrence Brown, who wanted to be an undertaker. He took on sideman Rex Stewart, who could play the impossible. He could push his trumpet valves half down and open up a weird new tone. Duke tied them together in a music he called New Jazz and took it to London, where the English listened and reported.
It's quite an odd music. It caused old women to weep, young girls to swoon, and stout lads to fall on their knees. And the Duke of Windsor asked the Duke of Ellington for drum lessons. The Americans call it hot music, and it seems to have quite an effect on feet.
French crowded the concert hall, and the critic called it...
Music most magnifique. Such tones, such rhythm.
The Belgians began to build jazz clubs around it, and the Germans banned it. But the world had heard it, and when the Duke brought his band home, his agents had other ideas.
Well, it all sounds very nice, Ellington, very nice. The band's all right. A little on the weird side, but...
It ought to be all right. Took 10 years to build it. Every man in it's a composer.
I've been your agent since you started. You've made a lot of music. You haven't made much money. Do you want to know why?
I'm doing all right.
Well, other bands do better. Yeah. Most of the music you play is written for just your own men. Nobody else can use it. They ain't got the tricky Sams and the Miley.
They can hear it on record.
Oh, sure, I know. King George buys every record you make. Now, how many King Georges in the United States? Oh, come down to earth, Duke. You'll never hit the big dough with that stuff.
What do the people want to hear?
Something simple. A pop tune. Get wise, Duke. Drop all this arty stuff. Sure, the long hairs like it, but it ain't paying.
Well, I'll have to talk it over with the band.
Oh, that's better. Now, if you can write simple, like, I'm your man. If not, your boys better disband. Think it over while you're waiting to go to the studio. You got a little time.
The Duke had 15 minutes. And he thought it over. Then he took a paper from his pocket and put his mood into a simple song and showed the notes to his sidemen. They looked it over, and they put it on the air. Solitude. And he knew he could write tunes simple and saleable. But he called in his men and told them the agent's story.
All of you know what the business manager says. He says he doesn't think we can go on playing our kind of music and keep a band. He says from now on we got to play just pop stuff.
You mean like the moon struck her in June?
Yeah, like the music goes round and round. It comes out here.
Oh, good Lord, everything with that.
That's what Solomon, that's what the agent wants us to play. Well, I can write pop tunes, too. I can make hits quick as they come, but well, time's short. We started out building something that'd make jazz the kind of music even the long hairs had come over to borrow from. Miley here plays notes on his horn no symphonic trumpeters can touch. It's good living, but it's not like the gold the kings of swing bring in for playing the stuff you guys throw away. That's just the way it is. We can go on trying to make a deeper kind of jazz, or we can hit the commercial. Whichever way it is, I'll write for you. Huh? Which is it?
Well, you're the boss, Duke. It's up to you.
Sure, no. It's not going to be like that. We'll vote on it. What do you say, Tricky?
Took me 20 years to play a trombone like this. I don't want to give it up now. I'll stick.
Rex?
Forget the squares. Keep playing the real jive.
Otto?
Well, I'm solid. Go on.
How about you, Harry?
I'm sticking.
The Duke went down the line, and all the sidemen stuck. And the Duke took the votes to his agent and laid them on the table. The agent thought it over a long, long time.
Well, so that's final? That's the way it's going to be?
That's the way it's got to be. Let me explain. Men like the men who make up my band don't give up developing a music that's been sort of, well, handed down to them through 100 generations. Enough people like it and feel it, so we'll go on.
Oh, sure, sure, but it's complicated stuff. Sometimes almost symphonic-like. You'll drive the jitterbugs crazy.
Well, I'll tell the boys we're on our own now. I'm sorry you don't...
Just a minute, Duke. Huh? This symphonic stuff.
Yeah?
I'm thinking it's no use throwing your music away.
Oh, we don't intend
to. Well, I mean, the kind of music you play is not just for dancing. It's for listening, too. The alligators and the hepcats go for it, but I'm thinking about the long hair boys.
What are you driving at?
Carnegie Hall.
Carnegie Hall?
Yeah. Now, what do you think, Duke? It's what you've been aiming at. A place where people are just listening, sort of soak up the stuff.
Yeah, will they listen?
Will they? They'll bring extra ears. They'll mob you. It's a natural. I'll fix it, and you'll be sitting where Mozart's music hides out. You look worried.
In a way, I feel like the time I was getting ready to sit in the lion's chair.
The lion? Who the devil's the lion?
No, a composer in his own way. I filled his chair once. You know, I'm wondering if I can fill the chairs where Bach and Beethoven's music's been played.
You'll feel it all right. You'll kill them. Play your old numbers.
No. No, I think I'll write something new. I've been wanting to write something people would listen to and think about. It'll be the story of the Negro people in America. I'll call it Black, Brown, and Beige. Yeah. I'll take it to Carnegie Hall.
Bach and Beethoven moved over. The Duke of Ellington moved into Carnegie Hall. The music that grew from the streets of Washington caught on in Carnegie Hall, and it will never lose its place in the hearts of the American people.
Just heard Destination Freedom's dramatization of the life of the great Negro composer and conductor, Duke Ellington. Destination Freedom is written by Richard Durham and produced under the direction of Homer Heck, with Larry Auerbach assisting. The role of Duke Ellington was played by Oscar Brown, Jr. Others were Gladys Williams, Charles Mountain, Cliff Norton, Tony Parrish, Fred Pinkard, and Les Spears. Music of Duke Ellington's band heard on this program was recorded. Other music was arranged by Emil Soderstrom and played by Elwin Owen and Bobby Christian. This is Henry Cook inviting you to be with us again next week when Destination Freedom will tell the story of the beloved Negro educator, Mary McLeod Bethune. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.